Bell rings, class period ends, and let's talk math, science, and reading now. Those are the three subjects covered by the PISA test. PISA is the Program for International Student Achievement, and the PISA test is a standardized test ranking 15-year-olds around the globe. The latest scores were announced today, and American students got about a C+. They scored in the middle of the developed world in reading and science, but lagged behind in math. Amanda Ripley is a journalist and the author of The Smartest Kids in the World and How They Got That Way. Today, she was moderating a conference in Washington where the PISA test results were announced.
I was actually very encouraged and surprised to see the number of countries that are now performing at the very top of the world, in the top tier, that also have significant levels of child poverty, lots of problems. They are not these kinds of, you know, Nordic utopia of Finland that you hear about. These are places like Poland, which has a 16% child poverty rate. Vietnam, which took the test for the first time, scored right at the top of the world. Vietnam has crushing levels of child poverty. So even though American teenagers did below average for the developed world in math, and at average in reading and science, which is about the same as we've always done since the test started in 2000, this is actually really encouraging for us because in some ways, learning from these countries is more relevant than learning from a place like Finland or Korea. These are countries that have lots of challenges that are similar to those of the United States, and they are proving that this is possible.
I mean, the U.S. does seem to lag behind other countries, but it's not so much a lag as it is kind of a plateau at this point. But I guess what I assume a lot of people here in the U.S. want to know is, how do we turn that from a plateau to a spike that's going up?
One thing that all the countries that have improved have done is that they, among other things, have agreed on a set of higher standards for what kids should know, a more coherent sort of plan that everybody gets behind for where you're headed. Now, what's interesting about that is that this is exactly what the Common Core state standards are supposed to do. These are a new set of standards that were adopted by 46 states in the U.S. But now, of course, there's big fights happening in many, many states about whether to stick with these standards. A lot of concern about whether it's too standardized or whether the federal government's involved. And it's interesting because if we were to continue down that path, that is something that at least the OECD, which produces the PISA report, feels very strongly would lead to significant gains for American teenagers, because the idea is to really focus on fewer, more rigorous standards for what kids should know. So that's one thing that these countries have done.
As your own research shows, Amanda, Poland is flexing its public education achievement muscle. What are they doing?
I was amazed to see how high Poland scored in these rankings. There are more Polish teenagers, percentage-wise, performing at the advanced level in math than there are in Finland. I did not expect them to reach quite those heights so fast. They went from below average for the developed world in 2000, way below the U.S., to well above the U.S. and above the average in 2012. They did a bunch of reforms in 1999-2000. The thing, though, that seemed to make the most difference for Poland, according to their own research, was that they delayed their separation of students by ability. So most countries, including the U.S., at some point, divide students into groups. You know, the kids who are headed to university and the kids who maybe are headed to community college or vocational school or no college at all. So what you see all around the world is the longer you keep kids together in an academic setting, the better on average all kids do, including the ones who are headed for the university anyway, which is kind of counterintuitive. You know, we sort of assume that, you know, at some point it'd be easier to teach these kids if you group them by ability into different classes. But you find the opposite is true in real life.
And you're actually at the museum in Washington, D.C., where the PISA results were announced. And you moderated a panel with the U.S. Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan. When you spoke with him about the U.S. results on the PISA survey, what did he have to say?
He called the new results a picture of education stagnation for the United States, which I think is accurate. He also said that, you know, he felt like there are things that we could do that other countries have done that we know would yield returns, like investing more in pre-K education. Even by age 15, the kids who have gone through some kind of early childhood education, even for a year or two, seem to do better on a sophisticated test of critical thinking in math, reading, and science.
Journalist Amanda Ripley, she's the author of The Smartest Kids in the World and How They Got That Way. Thanks very much for unpacking these test results for us, Amanda.
Thanks for having me.